Welcome to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Be sure to check out Greg at www.gregdwyer.com. That's www.gregdwyer.com. Now on to our show. Take it away, Greg.
All right, I'm excited. Are you ready for Halloween? Well, maybe, maybe not. Here it is, the 20th of October, 11 days. It'll be Halloween. Not everyone is excited like I am because not everybody celebrates Halloween, let's face it. Some people like Halloween. Some people love Halloween. Some people hate Halloween. How do I know? Well, last year I started a show, which is all about Halloween, and it was great. This year, which is 2024, October, I'm doing a show. In fact, I'm in the midst of it. I've done a couple weeks of shows. I have a week and a half to go, and it's all about Halloween. And it's been wonderful, the experience, the show, the people that I've met, the travel, absolutely wonderful. So I have 9 shows to go between now and the 31st. And I will tell you, it all depends on what you mean by Halloween. It all depends on your perception and what you think about Halloween. There's some people, in fact, I've run into this, who have boycotted my shows or say, you know, we don't approve of this. These are people that are on a board of a specific organization. They think it's satanic or they think it's evil. I would say this. It all depends on how you look at it, really. So every culture that I have come across has this concept of remembering the dead or remembering ancestors, father, mother, brother, sister, aunts, uncles, grandparents. You know, whether it's in China or any other culture, you have the Day of the Dead in Mexico. So the church even talked about this in the history of the church because May was a time that the church would remember the dead. And they moved it. They moved it to November, November 1st, All Saints Day, and November 2nd, All Souls Day, to coincide with the pagan holiday called Samhain. Right? And what does Samhain mean? Well, we don't know for sure, but some people believe it means summer's end. So many years ago, I was in Ireland. I was in Dublin, and I celebrated Halloween in Dublin. Had a blast. It was fun. I came back to the States, and I told people that I was in Ireland over Halloween time. And they're like, oh, we didn't know that the people in Ireland celebrated Halloween. Well, that's where it came from. Halloween, Samhain, originated in Ireland and Scotland and that part of the world, and it wasn't until the Irish came to America that it became popular here, and it's very popular. People decorate, people buy candy, people go trick-or-treating, and I have a show. In fact, this year it is the Paranormal Halloween show, and I open up by talking about 3 things that are important about Halloween that I'd like to discuss. The first one is ritual. The second one is divination. And the last is communication with the living and the dead. So that's how I open my show. I talk about these 3 aspects and then we dive into it. It's funny. It's hilarious. There's a lot of audience participation. It's fun. And it's emotional. It does move people. And the reviews are in. People love the show. Last year, I liked the show. Thought it was a great show. This year, there's just something about this year. It's a different show. It's a different spirit about it. No pun intended. And people love it. So let's talk about ritual. It's the first thing I talk about. So I do this thing in the show called the Magician's Ritual. And everybody in the audience, if it's a small audience of 20, 50 people, everybody will get 10 cards. Any 10 cards, it doesn't matter. In fact, they pick them out before they sit down. And I pick somebody from the audience in a very special way. And we do this ritual called the Magician's Ritual, where they take a deck of cards, which is 10 really, and they shuffle them up in their hands. They get rid of a few cards. And then they look at the bottom card and they sign it with their initial, or they just sign it with their name. And then we go through this little ritual where we spell out the word magician and we do this other thing called as above, so below. I do a little education about the tarot card, the magician, all educational, all fun and games. And the idea is to get back to the original card that you started with, because you're getting rid of cards as you go, right? So in the process of doing that, you'll end up with the card that you started with. Now, I do tell people that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. If it works, it's because you followed the directions and you followed the ritual and you were able to do it. However, I said this yesterday, big group of people, I said, if you didn't end with the card that you started with, it's because you got distracted and you counted wrong or you just didn't follow the instructions. And then I mentioned to the audience that magic is all about ritual. It's all about focus. It's about doing the same thing over and over again. I'm sure you've heard it before. The definition of insanity is doing the wrong thing over and over again, expecting different results. That's crazy. However, if you want something in life, whether it's a healthy body or a great relationship or whatever it is, it does require some ritual. It does require some habit. And I kind of slip in this idea that focus is everything. You know, focus is everything. So I probably have heard this story before. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett were at a wedding, and someone asked them both to sit down and write down a word that represented why they are so successful in life and business, money, investments. And they both wrote down the word focus. So focus is important. In our world today, people are so distracted. They're all over the place. There's so many choices, online, offline, and it's difficult for many people to stay focused or even know what's important to them. So I slip in that message that, you know, if you were to go to Salem and talk to a witch and ask her how she performs her magic, she'll say focus. However, if you go to Vegas and you go to a magic show and you talk to David Copperfield afterwards and ask him how he's doing what he's doing, he's probably going to tell you focus as well. So ritual is important. Ritual in daily life, flossing your teeth, exercising, drinking enough water, investing, right? These show up in everyday life. Well, how do they show up in Halloween? Well, people perform rituals on Halloween. Maybe they carve a pumpkin. Maybe they bob for apples. Maybe they go door to door and say trick or treat. Or maybe they shut off their lights, right? They shut off their lights and they don't play trick or treat, right? These are all rituals. If you say, oh my goodness, it's Halloween next week, and you shut your lights off and decide to go out shopping or go out to a restaurant, and that's what you do every single year, well, that's your Halloween ritual because you're basically boycotting the holiday. But it's a ritual. Can't get away from it. And the same goes for people that put their lights on, get some candy, dress up, and have fun on the evening of All Saints Day. That's a ritual as well. So I begin my show talking about ritual, and we do this little thing called the magician's ritual, which is fun. And I thought to myself, what happens when I bring the person up and they mess up? They're not focused. They don't get it right. Well, I say, oh, all right, that's fine. You know, we're going to see if we can redeem you. And we do another ritual called trick or treat. And this person that's standing next to me picks six people from the audience, and each one of them gets a card. And I explain to the participant, the person that's working with me, that there are seven zombies ringing your doorbell on Halloween evening, and they are all zombies. One of them is a fake zombie. They went to the Spirit of Halloween store and bought a costume. The other five people are real zombies. And we do a little bit of a ritual to eliminate all of the zombies except one. And then that one zombie ends up to be the fake zombie. And so whether the person got the card right or not, it doesn't matter because in the end, they look good. So the show is really, you know, about participation. It's not about making people look silly or making fun of them. And I'm very sensitive about, you know, when people come up to help me that they feel good about it and they have a really good experience. And that usually happens. So that's the first part of the show. It's all about ritual. Then I talk about the concept of divination, right? So we go from ritual to divination. And I mentioned, I said, you know, you got to use your imagination and think about maybe 100 or 200 years ago in Scotland or Ireland. When people went into October 31st, November 1st, they were going into the dark season of the year. Summer was over. The cattle were slaughtered. They didn't have Thanksgiving like we do in the States here, but people would slaughter the cattle, they would bring in what they needed to bring in, and they would prepare for winter. Now, we know we have four seasons. We have spring, we have summer, we have fall and winter. People survive winter, right? Whether it was 100 years ago or now, people are concerned, about resources. And it was even harsher back then when you couldn't go to a store, right? Or you couldn't go to a mall, or you couldn't heat your house easily. And so people were concerned. So they would bob for apples. They would look into mirrors. They would do divination. Why? What was the reason for divination? It's quite simple. They wanted to know if they were going to make it through the winter, make it through November, December, January, February. They wanted to know if they had enough resources. They wanted to know if everything was going to be okay. They needed comfort. So a lot of traditions around Halloween with divination, wondering if the future was going to be bright, right? So I remember years ago, I went out to Greece and I had a tour guide there. And one of the things we saw was a monastery or a castle, and on the door was the god of Janus. And the god of Janus is a bird with two heads, one looking to the future, one looking to the past. And she explained, this is the god of Janus, and this is where we have January, right? So traditions here in the States, December 31st, people think about the past. How was the year? How was the last year? What did it look like? What unfolded? How did things go? Right? Looking to the past. And then the future, you look to the next year, which tends for us right now to be 2025. And so you had this concept of past and looking to the future at the same time. So divination was really important for people. So what do I do in the show? Well, there's a couple things. I have some cards. I use either ESP cards or I use tarot cards. It depends on the situation. I'm very sensitive about that. What I do is I bring somebody up and I do a general reading for them. And in the process of doing a reading, I surprise them by letting them know that before they ever sat down, I knew exactly what they were going to say, what they were going to do, and how things were going to unfold. So again, this is really fun. The second part of it is I say, you can do this with a pack of cards. So I take out a pack of cards and I explain that a pack of cards has 52 cards and we have 52 weeks. There are four suits. We also have four seasons. And I explain that you can use a pack of cards to focus on the past or focus on the future. Then I pick three people from the audience. They come up and they all look at a card and I'm able to tell them what they've looked at. Now, it's funny. This is one of the highlights of the show. People absolutely love it. So far in my show, and this is probably a good, half an hour into it. Yeah, at least a half an hour, if not 40 minutes. We're talking about ritual and we're talking about divination. And I'm doing my best to let people know a little bit about the history of Halloween. Not necessarily just going door to door and asking for candy. There actually is some information and historical relevance behind all of this. All right, let's do this. Let's take a fast, quick commercial. I'll be back in 34 seconds.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. If you wish you could sharpen your focus on what matters most to you and achieve more, then you owe it to yourself to read Greg's ebook at gregdwyerebook.com. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. Download it today and give it away. As always, we want to thank you for listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Now back to our show. Take it away, Greg.
Okay, so I don't know about you, but I have fond memories of Halloween, going with my sister, going with friends, going with my cousins, going door to door. I think what I remember the most is just simply having a pillowcase filled with candy that would last until probably Christmas Eve. So for me, that's what it was all about. It was fun and games. There was probably a time that I didn't really focus on Halloween, didn't think much of it. But I love Halloween, and I think it's really because of this last element. So the first element we talked about was ritual. The second one, divination, looking into the future. The next is communication, and I focus on the living and I focus on the dead. Now, why? and this is kind of creepy, but here's the thought behind it. The thought behind it is October 31st is believed to be Samhain, and the veil is thin between the living and the dead. So spirits would visit you on that night. So people would dress up in costumes so that the spirits would be confused. And so people would go door to door and say, trick or treat. What they were saying was, you know, we're going to protect you. And as long as you give us candy or give us a gift, you know, things will be okay for you. So that's the reason why you have the trick or treat tradition, right? So it goes back ages. Just, it's almost like the same thing of caroling at Christmas time, where people would knock on your door and they would sing, and then you would give them something to eat, you know, maybe a muffin or some kind of cookie or something like that. So the tradition is very much focused on our ancestors. So in my show, I say, is there a possibility to be a connection between people that know each other, like husbands and wives and brothers and sisters and relatives, or even good friends? You know, I can tell you stories, and I'm sure you have stories yourself, of people that you know and you love, and you know what they're thinking before they're thinking it, and, you know, how did you know? Or maybe you have, you know, these situations where you're thinking about somebody, right? And then they pick up the phone and they call you, and you, like, without caller ID, you're like, I was just thinking about you. So I do think there is a connection. So this part of the show, I demonstrate with two people, people that know each other, family, or people that are married or good friends, that there is a connection between them, that one person is thinking a thought, and the other person that's sitting in the chair, you know, 5 feet away is picking up the same thoughts. So when that's all done, and that takes like 5 or 10 minutes, more like 10 or 12 minutes, the next thing I talk about is, what about the connection after a person dies? And this is where, you know, the whole thing gets a little more serious, and it's very emotional. And I will tell you, I've been on tour since the 2nd of October. Here it is the 20th. I've had a show almost every single day, except a Sunday or so. And I'll tell you that every single time it happens, it's different. And the reaction is different. And what I love about it is I can't plan it out because I don't know what's going to happen, which is something that makes it exciting for me. But what I do is I bring somebody up from the audience, and I ask them to think about someone that has passed that they have a really close connection with, you know, father, mother, brother, aunt, and uncle, you know, that sort of thing, grandparents. And what I do is, you know, of course, we're talking theater here. We're not talking about real summoning the dead, okay? I want to make that clear. And in my show, I never have a disclaimer. I never get out there and say, listen, this is just a show, and just kind of disclaim the whole thing. I just simply do what I do, and I let people make up their own minds. You know, people say, okay, we know you're a magician, or we know you're able to do things that most people aren't able to do, or some people actually believe it or not, that something mystical is happening. I let them believe whatever they want. I don't try to change their mind. I don't spend time with any kind of disclaimer. And so I bring up somebody from the audience, and then I ring a bell, and then I explain, just like we started with the deck of cards, the 10 cards, I ask a person to pick a card, and they'll pick a card, and then I ask them to pick or select 9 other cards so that they have 10 cards in their hand, just exactly as we started at the beginning of the show. And I ask them to look at the bottom card and put the initials of the person that they're thinking of. You know, so if they're thinking of their grandparents or their mom or someone that they are close to, they'll just put the initials on one of the cards. And then they shuffle the cards, and I shuffle the cards, and there's no way in the world I would know where that card is, nor do they. Now, I don't want to give out the secret, right? I don't want to give out even the ending of this. But what does happen in the process is there is a sign or two or three or four of this person's presence. So I can tell you from last year to this year, I've had people say to me, thank you so much. I know this was a trick, but for 5 minutes, I felt very close to my husband who passed. Or people cry, or people go through a deeper grieving process because of it. And It's very emotional. It, you know, it's more than just someone showing somebody a trick and saying, ta-da, you know, hey, what do you think of this? Did I fool you? It's not like that. It's sober. It's mysterious. It's full of wonder. And I do my best not to make it about me. I make it about them, and I make it about their loss. Just the other day, a woman came up, and her daughter showed up in some signs. And I said, I'm sorry for your loss. It's not easy to lose a daughter. 4 months ago, she died in May. So I'm like, oh, this, you know. So every time we do the show, or every time, you know, I give the lecture out, we have different experiences. Yesterday, I guess it was Saturday, woman comes forth, and she thought of her friend, who she's known for many, many, many years, and had a tragic death, which I don't want to get into. And she made an appearance, if you will, and the woman started crying, you know. So you can see that people are moved, and there's no way you can figure out what the audience is saying other than the fact, and this is what I noticed this year, more than last year. People come up to me, and they want to talk to me. You know, they want to talk about their experience. About a week ago, a woman came up to me and said to me that her house was haunted. And she went on to explain all of the different phenomenons that her and her husband have experienced in her house for the last 19 years. And believe me, I did not doubt what she had to say. So I was able to introduce her to somebody that deals with this sort of thing, because I don't. I'm an entertainer. I give lectures, I talk, but I'm not going to walk into somebody's house and pretend to do some kind of cleansing or house blessing, though I might want to look into that. That might be something, but I don't know. And then I've also had other people. In fact, yesterday, a woman came up to me yesterday, and she explained to me about a loved one that passed and how she wasn't able to make it to the funeral. And the people that had died actually came to her, right? Not in a vision, like literally. She saw them in the room. She heard them. And, you know, I say to people afterwards, I says, you know, I don't know what you think about the presentation. Thank you for being here, but I'd love to hear your feedback or your stories or your experience of all of this. And what I have experienced myself is that people do believe in the supernatural, and they have had experiences, right, that they cannot explain. They cannot explain, you know. Back in the summer, I ran across this hospice nurse that was an atheist. She went to church when she was a kid. She grew out of it, and she was a nurse, and she would be with people as they died, right? And in the last couple of years, she noticed a trend, or she noticed something that was happening where people would talk to their loved ones or see their loved ones or experience some supernatural events that she just couldn't explain. So she put it in a book. And, you know, she does believe in the afterlife, and she does believe in the supernatural. So this has been very, very rewarding for me. Last year, I had a great time. This year, I'm loving it because the show really just flows naturally. It just comes from my heart. The feedback that I'm getting from people are, you know, you're amazing. This comes natural to you. You know, you got this. People love it. 5-star reviews, video testimonials. And the other thing that's interesting is people just booking me and rebooking me right on the spot. People have already said, we want you next Halloween, or we want you next spring, or what else do you got? Because we would love to bring you back. And I think the difference between last year's show and this year's show is this year really focuses on the heart of the matter. And so at the end of the show, I begin and end the same way. I say, well, Halloween, some people don't like it. They really don't. They hate it. Some people like it, or if you're like me, you love Halloween. Why wouldn't you love Halloween? I says, you know, basically it's all about ritual, and ritual's good. Habits are good. They ground us. You know, there's a difference between fall celebration and December celebration or spring celebration. All of these seasons have habits. I remember years ago, I'm talking 25 years ago, driving around I don't know where I was living, Missouri or Ohio or wherever I was. And I had this thought. I said, you know, everybody has a sense of ritual, and everybody is a pagan in some way, in the sense that they gear or orient their life according to the seasons. I know, you know, we're not living off the land, most of us, but there's something within the seasons, the days getting longer, the days getting shorter, the harvest season, the winter season, the spring season, the summer season. There's a time to plant. There's a time to harvest. There's a time to contemplate, which is winter, which is coming up soon. But all of these things and all of these holidays and all of these traditions, all of these things revolve around ritual. You know, February 2nd, you'll see me watching Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Thanksgiving here in the States, Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas, Christmas, New Year's, all of these holidays, all of these traditions are ritual. And what I share is that if you want to do anything in life like sales or marketing or speaking or consulting or writing a book, being an author, having a podcast, it all revolves around rituals and habits. That's it. You know, people get triggered around December, whether it's Hanukkah, or whether it's Christmas, or whether it's just the blues of the holiday season. People get triggered. What is that? That's a habit. And so ritual and habit can work for you, and it can also work against you. But what I love about the Halloween season is it is so deep in ritual. And then divination. Well, you know, we're, 19 days away from the U.S. election. People are thinking about November 5th. I say it's better to look to the cards than look to Washington for your answers, and everybody laughs. But the truth is, no one's going to come to save you. You know, we might want to figure out what our new year is going to be like, but ultimately the message that I give people is your future is in your hands. It doesn't matter who's in the Oval Office. You got to figure it out. You got to zig. You got to zag. You have to be responsible for your own life. No one's going to come and rescue you. And then lastly, I say, I don't know why anybody would hate Halloween or not like Halloween. It's all about community. It's all about connection. It's about family and friends. And ultimately, it's the deepest question that's probably on all of our hearts. Is there life after death? Is it possible that the communion lasts forever? Okay. And that's the question that I'm raising. And of course, everyone that leaves my show, my lecture, they have a different perception about what they saw, what they witnessed, whether it was real or whether it was not real, whether there was psychic ability or whether it was just tricks, blending and blurring the two as I go. But I think this is the question that's on all of our minds. You know, is life just about living 70, 80, 90, 100 years, or is there more to it than that? So I love Halloween. I don't know if you do or not. But hopefully this will open up your mind towards Halloween itself, or maybe even come to one of my shows, which I'd love to have you see this in action. But I think what it really comes down to it is connection with the people that we love. So this Halloween, I have a little section of my house with pictures of my aunts and uncles and my mom and dad and grandparents, my brother that passed, and people that I, you know in my family that are no longer with us. But on Halloween, I pause and I think and I remember those people that have passed. And I guess my biggest hope in my life is that when I'm gone, whenever that is, right, I don't know, that my sister or my brother or my nephew and their kids, the family will remember me on Halloween and probably also remember how much I love this holiday. Okay, happy Halloween, everybody. Talk to you next week. Thanks, bye.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. Check out Greg at gregdwyer.com. Be sure to download his ebook at gregdwyerebook.com to stay focused on what matters most to you. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. We want to thank you for listening. Now go make a difference in your world.